Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Aaron Klein, senior advisor to the former prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who is now the leader of the opposition. Aaron Klein, observing the national security apparatus of Israel and looking at threats from Hamas in Gaza, threats from the Islamic Republic of Iran. First, let's deal with a headline that is a puzzle. Aaron, the headline is that Hamas threatens violence unless it gets its money from Qatar. Now, that's another sovereign state. Can you explain this, please?
Indeed. You have the Hamas in Gaza that was, you know, hit very hard when it tried to rocket Jerusalem. It rocketed Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and the rest of Israel only like 2 months ago. And they want their Qatari money that has been blocked in recent months by the Israeli government. And so they are warning that if they don't get it, according to reports, they are going to escalate the situation with Israel. So they're playing hardball. And by the way, they're doing it with an Israeli government that has as a small contingent an Islamist Arab party. So let's see what the government here in Israel can and cannot do with regard to getting Qatari funds or not into the Gaza Strip. Qatar has its own interests in, let's say, maintaining its power base in Gaza, just as you have the Iranians that are sort of allied in some ways when it comes to oil and pipelines, but not on religion, with the Qataris. And now you have the Iranians also signaling very hardline approaches toward the West. So this is all, in fact, interconnected.
Aaron, I turn from Hamas and making threats to the chief source of Hamas's money during the last conflict, which was Iran. The Ayatollah is quoted in the news saying that he doesn't need an Iran deal with the United States and that he does not trust the United States' negotiations. This is a sudden turn in the weather, especially because Israel has counseled for many years that Iran is untrustworthy. Now Iran is accusing the United States. Is this a bargaining tool from the Ayatollah? How do you read this, Aaron?
Could very well be, but they're hardening their positions beyond even entering the already dangerous, and they should be very happy about, 2005 nuclear agreement with Iran. Yeah, you have Khamenei at an event with the outgoing president, Rouhani, who negotiated that disastrous 2015 deal, disastrous for the West, excellent for Iran. And Khamenei is, in fact, saying that he's basically signaling that Rouhani was naive for even negotiating that deal and taking a hardline approach even beyond the very weak nuclear deal. And then you also had outgoing Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif, who wrote in a letter 2 weeks ago, and you can take some of this with a grain of salt, but that Iran, that the Biden administration, they claim at least, was going to lift most sanctions on Iran just to return to the 2015 nuclear deal. But now you have Khamenei at least trying to harden Israel's Iran's approach to not even going to something in the future that was the 2015 nuclear deal. So looking at it from above, if the Biden administration has a deal that does not address the issue of sanctions against Iran's terror regime, then I believe that would be a failure. If a future nuclear deal doesn't address intercontinental ballistic missiles that are right now, I think, a major threat, way more than in 2015, in fact, a threat to Europe and a threat to the United States homeland, by the way, by Iran. If those are not addressed, then I believe that the nuclear deal would be a failure. And then you also have some reports from Iran that we're talking about a sunset clause potentially of just 4 years. And again, sunset clause, that would mean that Iran can dial down limitations and start to enrich uranium beyond the levels that are safe and that are clearly intended for, and go to levels that are intended for a nuclear weapon. So again, you do have to be skeptical of what's coming out of Iran. But I do believe that we should be hearing a lot more, especially from people in my neck of the woods here in Israel, very publicly about what should be the red lines of the Jewish state, and really for Western civilization when it comes to a future nuclear deal. And I think we're not hearing right now enough public drawing of those lines. I hope that changes.
Ben & Jerry's, Jerry Greenfield and Ben Cohen, founders of Ben & Jerry's, they are in the New York Times presenting the case that they're not anti-Semitic, that they're, that they support Israel. How to fit this into what we've been told is the Ben & Jerry's success for BDS of blocking the sale of Ben & Jerry's, even the production of Ben & Jerry's, in what they called occupied lands. This is confusing, Aaron. Are they walking it back?
Okay, so you have Ben and Jerry themselves in a New York Times op-ed, not only not walking anything back, but very strongly defending their anti-Semitic boycott of Israel, because that's basically what it is. Let's look at the New York Times op-ed by Ben and Jerry, who I think still are living in the 1960s and taking that approach toward the Middle East. They say that their boycott is, by the way, one of the most important decisions the country has made, the company has made in its history. Then they write that this is a quote, not a rejection of Israel. It is a rejection of Israeli policy, which perpetuates an illegal occupation and violates basic Palestinian human rights. They wrote more outrageousness, but let's just take a look at that for a minute. First of all, they are BBS is the very definition of anti-Semitism, and the Ben & Jerry's board wanted to boycott the entire state of Israel, but apparently they were stopped by doing so by Unilever. So this is not about Jews living in certain areas that are not defined even by the United Nations as occupied. And by the way, these are areas where Jews have lived historically for thousands of years, like the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem, inhabited by Jews for over 3,000 years. Beit El, Shiloh, Hebron, home to the oldest Jewish community in the world continuously. BDS is about boycotting the entire Jewish state, something that Ben & Jerry's board tried to do. And the other thing is, they talk about human rights here. Israel, the one democracy in the Middle East, Israel that has a military that goes further than any other military in the world to minimize civilian casualties, Israel that upholds basic human rights. Excuse me, Ben and Jerry, but if you want to do something about actual human rights violations, why not boycott China? Why not boycott Iran? Why are you targeting the one and only democracy in the Middle East? And then lastly, outrageously, they claim, they, Ben and Jerry, in the New York Times op-ed, that they are advancing the cause of human rights and the core tenets of Judaism. And then they say that as Jews, quote, we fundamentally reject the notion that it is anti-Semitic to question the policies of the state of Israel. Yeah, but BDS is anti-Semitic. You guys have joined the anti-Semitic BDS bandwagon. It's, in fact, the very definition of anti-Semitism.
Yes, I wanted to make certain I understood it correctly. Ben and Jerry's is seen as a success for the BDS activists. Isn't that correct, Aaron? And they, and there, at no point did Ben and Jerry reject that association.
What they're doing is boycotting Jews living in certain territories, again, including in the old city of Jerusalem, including in areas where Jews lived historically for thousands of years.
Right.
So that is BDS. They have now become the poster child of the BDS movement. They're boycotting Jews living in their own country. That is BDS. That is anti-Semitism. And no op-ed in the New York Times is going to change that.
Aaron Klein. He's a senior advisor to the former prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who is now the leader of the opposition. Aaron is in Jerusalem observing the very fast-moving story of the virus and the vaccines. Highly effective vaccines, however, the caution is noted. A third jab is in conversation, about to be recommended for seniors. That would be my age group in Israel, and we can presume extended worldwide for the wisdom of where we are in the pandemic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy, hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.